Sometimes the Lord, I pray, and I always pray that what God wants me to teach on Sundays, and sometimes the Lord gives it to me, and sometimes it's like midnight, Saturday nights. This is one of those. I got about 11 o'clock last night, and so I started writing stuff down. I actually had a whole other thing planned that we're going to start next week. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But I started to print everything out last night about midnight, and my printer ran out of ink. So I called Walmart, and they said they were open 24 hours, and they checked, and they had ink cartridges for my computer. So I went to bed, and I got up at about 5:30 or 6 this morning, went down and bought some ink cartridges and printed up my lesson. So, and I've got the, I would have just brought my laptop, but I got some things I'm going to pass out here in a minute to you guys. First of all, let me ask you guys, somebody tell me some of the blessings you had this year.
I was blessed by my daughter and I finally, after a long time of having a very strained relationship, we've gotten extremely close where we're keeping in contact on a regular basis and talking about going on a trip together, and that's a definite God that I prayed about for many years. It's finally starting to happen.
That's awesome.
And that's a definite blessing.
That is. That's great. Karen?
My daughter married a wonderful, godly young man.
I can attest to that. I've met them both, and they're good people.
Yeah.
Robert.
I found a woman of my dreams and we got married in October 4th.
Awesome. Congratulations. Robert and Wanda, this is Tim and Chris. Robert and Wanda visiting today, and hopefully next week they'll be permanent. So, anyway, Chris.
And of course, our son married an amazing young lady, but you know the sad part.
But that's a good thing too, because you get to go to Colorado to see him. Colorado's awesome. I love Colorado. Anybody else?
You go along with this marriage thing.
We're doing marriage thing.
Our daughter married a wonderful Christian young man too.
That's awesome.
They seem very happy.
Well, I had a new grandbaby this year. Yeah. She's about 5 months old.
Yeah.
I got to go see her a few weeks ago, and let me tell you, like everything they say about grandkids is true. And she even wet on me, and you know what? I didn't care. And I didn't even have to change any diapers either. That's the great thing about it. So, anybody else? One more before we get started. Anybody? Okay. Well, like I say, I had prayed and prayed and prayed. And next week, we're actually going to start a series on the Apostle Paul. It's a study I've always wanted to do to find out more about him. You know, anybody know how many books are in the New Testament?
27.
How many of those did Paul write?
Most of them.
14 or 15.
Between 13 and 14, depending on whether you think Hebrews was written by Paul. There's a lot of people, you'll wonder who wrote Hebrews. I heard Norm say that, I was gone that Sunday, he said he believes Priscilla wrote it. Never heard that in my life. I've heard that Barnabas may have written it, Titus may have written it, Timothy may have written it. And let me tell you, everybody that says they know who did it, they're full of baloney, because nobody knows. Nobody knows. What I believe is, I read some scholars that believe that Galatians and Hebrews were one book, and that they actually split that to make two different books, because Hebrews deals more with the Hebrew people that have come to know the Lord, and Galatians and others. So I kind of tend to believe that. I believe Paul probably wrote it, but nobody knows. So when people tell you that, just tell them, okay, you know, just all right. But I thought Priscilla was really interesting. And let me tell you, Norm is a smart cookie, smarter than I am. So, but I'd like to talk to him some more and see where he came up with that conclusion.
Well, I agree with Peter. He said that Paul wrote things that are hard to understand.
For him.
Yeah, Peter. Peter said that.
Yeah, because, you know, Paul butted heads with Peter big time. They had the council at Jerusalem that came down to, are we going to make people follow the law of circumcision or not? And that really was a deciding factor in what Christianity taught in doctrine. And so they agreed finally. I mean, I said, Paul, he pretty much attacked Peter on that stance, because Peter was teaching people they had to be circumcised. And Paul went to him and said, look, you're wrong. And so they got it worked out, and so they decided that Peter and the other apostles would go to the Jews that had become believers and the ones that were becoming believers, and that Paul would go to the Gentiles, anybody but the Jews. So really interesting. I'm really looking forward to this. I've never done an in-depth study. The only place you can really, hey guys, the only place to really get any information in the Bible, though, is in the book of Acts, starting in chapter 7 and on through the book of Acts, and then through the books that are the letters that Paul wrote. And let me tell you that, I mean, we'll talk about this more, but they are just actual letters. They're not sermons. They're not treatises. You know, it's just, they're letters that he wrote to real people in real churches. So you find out a lot about Paul. Two-thirds, they say, of the, at least half of the New Testament was written by Paul, and maybe two-thirds. So I think we need to study who Paul was. The Bible says, know those who labor among you. In other words, get to know them, understand them, and know who they are. So I think it's important that we find out who Paul was and what his Pauline revelation. Anybody ever heard that term, the Pauline revelation? That's the things that Paul actually went to heaven, and the Lord gave him this abundance of revelation. We'll find out there are some doctrines about Paul that are not true. They're taught by 99.9% of the pastors in America. They say that Paul had some kind of eye disease. But if you read the scripture, and we've talked about that here before, we'll talk about it again, it says he was given an evil messenger from Satan to buffet him because of all the revelations he had had to keep him from getting the big head. And so if you go back, he's telling this whole story, and he talks about how he was shipwrecked, he was beat, and that's what this evil spirit would cause, all this trouble everywhere he went. And he sought the Lord three times, God, please deliver me from this. And God says, no, I'm doing this to keep you from getting the big head so you don't have trouble with your relationship with me. So anyway, we're going to start that next week. I don't know how long it'll take, but I really want to get into an in-depth study of Paul and understand who he is. For 2013, for me, 2012 has been a challenging year. Health-wise, relationship-wise, it's been great. You know, I mean, I really, God's blessed me with the greatest wife there is, I believe, and I have to really thank the Lord for that. Of course, I was told I had to say that this morning. So. Yeah. No, but really, I do praise God for that, you know, and for the relationship I have with her. And I had prayed that if I ever got married again, that it had to be somebody that could do some kind of ministry with me. And God's led Barb into ladies' ministry and Celebrate Recovery, and I just see amazing things happen through that. So I'm thankful for that. But I want to challenge you this morning for 2013. I'm going to pass some things out here in just a second. You don't have to do these. Some of them are difficult. But I want you to seriously, prayerfully consider the one you take. And I want you to, as I pass them around, I want you to not look at them until you pick yours. But take one off the top without looking at it. And I want you to keep that in your Bible this year. And I want you to pray about doing what it says on here. And like I say, some of these are tough. But I really believe that this is a year coming up that we need to get to know the Lord more and that we need to be challenged to walk with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you some of those things. If y'all pass those around, just keep them face down while you pick one right off the top. Like I said, I really pray that God would let the person get the one, let each one of you get the one you need. And you remember when we started the study on the secret kingdom, passed around the scriptures with promises of God the very first, and I prayed, God, let each one get the one they need. And, you know, we had people here crying, saying, this is what God really had for me, you know. So I believe God can do that. Once you get them, you can look at them. Somebody read me one of yours. Some of you may get an identical one, but there's about 10 different ones or 12 different ones in there. Somebody read one of them.
I want to challenge you to spend 30 minutes every day in prayer and Bible reading. Set a certain time each day to pray and read the scriptures. Try to do this the same time every day. Find a time that is quiet and when you can be alone. Pray for your marriage if you are married. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your family. Pray for your church and your life group and your leaders. Pray for those in authority that God will give them wisdom and lead them in godly ways.
Thank you. And if you already do that 30 minutes, add another 30 minutes. Okay, somebody else.
Good golly, mine's time to 10%. You're not going to ask me to double, are
you? I have to read it so you know what you're talking about.
Okay, if you're a regular tither, let me encourage you to start. If you're not a regular tither, I encourage you to start tithing. If you don't have the faith to give 10% of your income, start with 2%. Give your offering before you pay any bills without trying to figure out if you can afford to pay it. Pay your tithe where you are being fed spiritually.
Okay. And if you're already doing that, maybe consider another 1% or something. Just whatever the Lord leads you to do. I would really encourage you all. You know, I used to hate watching TV preachers because almost every one of them wants your money. Matter of fact, I wrote a song about TV preachers. I have to sing it for you one of these days. About how they're not going to be there when you die to bury you. They're not going to be there when your kids get married, you know. But yet they want your money. But, you know, some of them are teaching a principle that works. We talked about the law of reciprocity recently, how that if we give, the Bible says God gives back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So as we give, there is a principle there. That's how God gives the resources to us to live, Regina. So there really is something. If you're not a tither, start praying about that. Start giving a little and work your way up to 10% if you don't have the faith for that. Somebody else read theirs.
Pick three people on staff at First Baptist and pray for them.
Okay, good. Any three people? Somebody else, one more.
Fasting is an important part of our Christian faith, yet very few Christians fast. As long as your health permits, start out by fasting on mid-January. Increase your fast to 2 meals a day early. By the end of December, see if you can fast for 1 week.
Okay, and that's as long as your health will allow that. That is something, you got the hard one. Did anybody else get the one on fasting?
The person
is hard. Yeah, Steve said he may not come back. Like I said, nobody's required to do any of this, but let me challenge you in your walk with the Lord. Fasting, like I said, that's such an important part of our Christian walk. Remember Jesus, they brought a child to him that was demon-possessed. And the apostles, they couldn't cast this demon out. And they asked Jesus why, because they had cast demons out. But they couldn't do it, and Jesus did. And they said, why couldn't we do this? And Jesus said, this kind of comes out only through prayer and fasting. So, you know, when you're confronted with that, it's too late to go fast then. You need to be fasted and prayed up before that happens. And like I say, that's something that very few of us ever do. Now, a week fast, I haven't done a week fast yet. I've done a few days. But I haven't done a week fast yet. Remember Pastor David called for a fast, was it earlier this year or last year, for a week. And that's just, I haven't got to that point yet. But, you know, like I say, start off with a meal, maybe 2 meals later, and maybe work it up to a day or two like that. Have we got more of those?
Yeah, we can. Tell everyone what's going on.
Okay, take one of these. Take off the top.
Take the top one.
Right there.
There
and then you can look at it. This is a challenge for you guys for 2013. Regina, you want to read yours?
The top.
Barbara. Challenging between 30 minutes every day in prayer and Bible reading. It's myself at a certain time each day to pray and be the scripture. Try to do this the same time every day. Find a time that is quiet and when you can be alone. Okay. Pray for your marriage if you are married. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your family. Pray for your church and your life group and their leaders. Pray for those in authorities. Mm-hmm. Authorities that God will give them wisdom and lead them in godly ways.
Good, thank you. So like I say, nobody has to do those, but let me challenge you to try and see if you can do those. There are some things I want to go ahead here that I want to challenge you on. I want to give you some scriptures for that. Like I say, I prayed all week, Lord, what do you want me to teach Sunday? And nothing came. And like I say, it seems like when this happens, sometimes there's some of the better lessons because I get myself out of the way and God can give me something. But like I say, about 11 o'clock, the Lord just showed me this when I'd already prepared two other things. But let me encourage each one of you to pray every day. Saturdays, Sundays, during the week. Barbara gets up at 5:30 every morning. She goes to work. You leave the house about 7:30, a little before. She gets up at 5:30 every morning so she can spend time with the Lord, have her devotions. And she's done that ever since I've known her. And that's not easy, especially when she gets to bed at 10 or 10:30 or 11 and then she's back up, you know, 7 hours later. But God will honor that time. So let me encourage each one of you to spend time with the Lord every day. Try to do it the same time every day and do it where you're alone, where it's quiet, where the Lord can speak to you. You know, it's silly to think that we speak to the Lord and that the Lord wouldn't speak back to us, right? Matter of fact, there was a guy in Utah that lived in this. You remember the show MASH? Remember the tents they had? He lived out by Utah Lake, which is south of the Great Salt Lake. It's almost like it was in Israel. You know how you had the Dead Sea and then the Sea of Galilee? Well, the Sea of Galilee goes along the Jordan River, drains into the Dead Sea. Well, that's the way it is in Utah. That's why they called it Zion, and they thought that God had made it just like Israel. But you have Utah Lake, and it drains by the Jordan River, into the Great Salt Lake, which is a Dead Sea. Anyway, there was a guy that lived out there by Utah Lake in a mash tent. And he had a ham radio, and he'd lived out there for years. Well, they did an article on him in the local TV station. And he said that he was a Christian, and they talked to him. And he said, you know, he said, people think I'm crazy. And they said, why? He said, because I talked to the Lord. And he said, nobody thinks that's crazy, but God talks back to me. And everybody thinks he's crazy. But why wouldn't God talk back to us, right?
Yeah.
Let's stop in this year, and let's listen to what the Lord has to say. God speaks all the time. I wish I'd have written the scripture down, but Mike Murdoch is one of my favorite Bible teachers. And he has a thing called Wisdom Keys on television, and he always talks about the scripture, and I think it's in Deuteronomy, about how God, the Holy Spirit, speaks all the time. I'll bring that one of these days. But anyway, let me encourage you to pray, and pray for your loved ones. I'm going to give you a whole list of things. Pray for the leaders of our church and leaders of our life group. Pray for members of your life group, the people that are here. This is our family. I mean, all of us, really, we're family here, really. Pray for your marriage and for your spouse. I mean, we all need that, don't we? At least I know I do, the barber to put up with me sometimes. Pray for those in authority. You know what? We may not like President Obama. We may not like Boehner or Boehner, whatever his name is.
John Boehner.
Boehner. I don't keep up with it anymore. But anyway, we may not like them, or Biden. We may not like them, but the Bible tells us we have to pray for them, right? We pray that God will give them wisdom. You know, I loved it when Pastor David had the political candidates in, you know, and he didn't endorse any one of them, but he admonished them to walk worthy of the Lord and to make decisions that were upright in God's eyes. And boy, I thought, you know, how could any one of those people go do something that was unethical after him admonishing them like that? I really thought that was cool. So pray for those in authority. Pray for the peace of Israel and Jerusalem. We're commanded to do that in the Bible. Pray for Jerusalem, for the peace over there of Israel, and for God's people in Israel. We need that. You know, part of Revelation is before the Antichrist comes, and before the rapture, I believe happens before the Antichrist comes, is that all these countries are going to come against Israel. And it's going to almost look like they're taking Israel over. And of course, that's when supposedly the rapture happens, and when the Antichrist says, hey, wait, I can make peace here for 7 years, and that starts a whole ball of wax rolling. So pray for peace over there. Pray those people will be protected, and God will give them wisdom. Pray that the United States would turn from its wicked ways. That's a big one. This country, I mean, you look at Sodom and Gomorrah and Nineveh, none of those countries were more wicked than we are. 53 million babies, way over 53 million babies have been murdered, brutally murdered through abortion since 1973.
See? You know, Ruth Graham once said that if God doesn't judge the U.S., he needs to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, in Nineveh, they would flay people. You know, they would slice their skin off while they were alive and things like that. You know, I don't know that we don't, our government doesn't do that here, but yet wicked things go on every day in this country. You know, what are the two biggest, abortion and
marriage?
Yeah, gay marriage. You know, the Pope said the other day, and whether you believe in Catholicism or not, there is a connection there with us and the Pope through Christianity. But he said that if gay marriage is allowed to go over in this world, he said that's going to be the end of humankind. And if you think about it, how in the world are they going to have children? Of course, they'll be wanting to adopt, but eventually there won't be more kids to adopt. I mean, it's just, the whole thing makes no sense.
In fact, what are you saying about these homosexuals? In my country now, I left the country some 11 years, next month, and my sister-in-law that came here, the new law they have now, if you are homosexual and you want to do your, any church, any religious, for that matter, if you have to do it to marry people off, you better do it in your bedroom. But if they see you in a church and you want to do that, the pastor and everybody that's going to be there are going to burn it. That's a new law in my country.
Wow.
Any church, any organization that starts with anything that homosexual, even if they talk about it, be ready for that. And now it's also part of Nigeria, where some of the people that are working with Catholic people, they are trying to leave the organization because they say the church is misleading them. Why should they encourage homosexual when it's not in the Bible? So in my country, don't preach the Bible and you go tell them something different. You'd be in serious trouble.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Uganda.
No excuse, no law, no police, nobody. Yeah. Once they see you doing it, they're going to set our church on fire.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, Uganda, I don't know, I think I told this week or two ago, their president is a born-again Christian, and he actually had a national day of prayer a few, 3, 4, or 5 weeks ago, and he repented for his country to the Lord, for the sin in that country, for the witchcraft, for the, you know, everything else that goes on, and he asked that God would bless their country. And I tell you what, that's what we need in this country. We need somebody that's going to forget about politics. If you look in the Old Testament, the judges and the rulers of Israel, they went in and tore down the Ashtaroth, or these like totem poles they had that where they worshiped false gods. And they did that under penalty of death. But you know what? God always protected them when they did that, when they followed his way and destroyed those things. So if we'd have, that's what we need, is a spiritual a leader in this country that believes in the Lord and will do what God says. And God will turn this country around immediately. Okay. Pray that God will give you wisdom in all that you do. This year, let's really focus on that. That God will give us wisdom as a group and as individuals in this group. And I really believe, you know, the whole reason I taught the series a while back on the secret kingdom is because I want you guys to be blessed. I want you to understand how the kingdom of God works. And I love you guys. Really, you're my family. And I want to see God's blessings in your lives. And that's why when I talk about tithing, it's not just that you can, I mean, I'm not getting your money. I don't want you to give me your money. Unless God tells you to, but I don't expect God to do that. You know what I'm saying? I want you to follow God. But the Bible says you give your tithe to the storehouse where you're being fed. And that's this church, if you belong here. So let me encourage you to give that tithe. If you can't trust God to give 10%, start with 1%. Start, but learn to be a giver. And I promise you, matter of fact, I want to read Malachi from a different version I read the other night here in a minute. But now, I want to encourage you to pray. That's the first thing. Second thing is I want to encourage you to read your Bible every day. How many of you got my email yesterday? I want to for those of you that didn't, I want to challenge all of you to read through the Bible in 1 year with me. And if you go to the website, you can go just click on each link for each day, and it pulls up the scripture in the New Living Translation. So it's really easy to understand. And believe me, that will help you when you start through Leviticus and Deuteronomy and some of those old Testament books. But let me encourage you, as we do it all together, I've had a couple of them say that they were going to read it. Like I think Nancy said she has DVDs.
It's called Daily Audio Bible that he reads through it.
Is it on a DVD or?
It's a website.
Oh, okay, good. And then somebody else.
Pardon? There's one on the church website
It doesn't matter how you do it, but let me encourage you to read the same scriptures as we all do. So what we're going to do is we're going to read it as it was written. Not, you know, as it's laid out in the Bible. We're going to read it historically as each book was written. Anybody know what the oldest book in the Bible is?
Job.
So it'll start off with like Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and then it'll go to Job and different things like that. But it goes as the Bible was written historically. So if you read it on your smartphone or whatever, that's great. But let's try to read the same scriptures. That way, each Sunday when we come, if we have questions or we have thoughts, we can share those and talk about it as a group. And if you've never read through the Bible, this is a great time to do it because you'll have each person here encouraging each other. And I've done it 2 or 3 times, but I need to do it. I want to start doing it every year, literally. So I remember Jimmy Swaggart said one time, he gets a date Bible, let's just see it. And every year he starts with a new one and he just marks it all up as he goes through every year. And so let me encourage all of you to do that. And if you have any questions as you go through it, send me an email. Give me a call. You know, and I may not know the answer, but if I don't, we'll look it up. We'll try to find it. I've got lots of Bible commentaries and things like that, so we can try to find an answer. So let me encourage everybody to get involved. And like I say, I'll send you guys an email with the link and everything.
Can I? I think where I think it is, when you talk about wisdom, most of the churches now, I think what we are doing something and we are not doing another thing. Here what most of the church is doing now. They recruit, but they don't nurture.
Okay.
They recruit, okay. But they don't nourish. Like, you bring people in, but you don't focus on the people that you bring in. You see, it's like, we on the war front, and you have your enemies on this side and you're on the other side. If one of your members leave from that group and join another group, you won't like that. Satan does not want people to leave his kingdom to go to God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. So anytime you see somebody come from outside and come in this building, this is a house of God. This is a building. We are the house of God. It's just a building we have here that we all meet because here we fellowship.
Right.
But what I'm trying to say here is that whenever somebody comes from out or we bring people, we organize them, they come to class, we talk, that's not enough. We need to focus. We need to put our mind into how to help these people to stay, to remain, so that our fruits will remain and not to come and go.
Right.
Because if we do that, that's wisdom. And we can't do it on our own.
Right.
This is what's happening. You see people come in the church, they baptize, be a member of certain class, they're gone. The enemy got to pull back his people. He wants them back. God wants them. But God doesn't use the kind of force Satan uses.
Well, I think that's why Pastor David says, if you come to church and he says you're coming to the big group and not going to life group, he says, do it the other way. He says, come to life group. And if you're only going to do one, do life group and not the big church. Because, like you say, people need to grow spiritually. It's one thing to get saved and all, but then you need somebody to disciple you and help you grow. So that's why we have, 93 life groups, I think, which is incredible.
It's like holding a child and not giving them bread and not feeding it. Yeah, you put a child on your lap.
That's right.
What does that do? Unless you help them to grow.
Yep, that's a good point. Okay, scripture for prayer. You can write these down if you want. Ephesians 6:18. Paul said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So Paul talked about the importance of prayer. Go some time and do a study on the word prayer in the New Testament. We talked about prayer is not just asking God for things. Prayer is that communication, that life we have with the Lord. That's our relationship. I mean, you could walk with Jesus all day long and not say a word, but still be in a relationship with Him. That's prayer, is walking with Him. As far as reading the Word, Joshua 1:8, Joshua was one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Anybody remember who he was? He took Moses' place after Moses died. Remember when Moses, he had gone along and they needed water, and God told him to hit the rock with his staff, and he did, and water gushed out, and they say water still flows to this day over there. Well, then the next time they came around a few years later and they needed water again. Of course, the people were throwing a fit. And God says, this time I want you to speak to the rock. Well, what did Moses do? He's like, that doesn't make any sense. So he smote it with his staff. Water came out, but God punished him for that because he was not obedient. He didn't live in the age of grace like we did. Somebody tell me what time it is.
9:59.
Oh, okay. All right. Missing, I might have to buy another clock put up there.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, so God told Moses, he said, because you didn't do what I said, he said, I'm going to let you see the promised land, but I'm not going to let you go in. So Joshua and Caleb were the ones with the other 10 spies that went in and saw the land, and they were the only two who came back with a good report. But Joshua was talking to the people of Israel, and he said, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and be successful. See, it's not just if you read it, but to do what you read. So let me encourage you this year to be a doer of the word. The second scripture on reading the Bible, Psalms 119:97. How I love your instruction. Every day it is my meditation. The Bible's full of instruction, and that's what brings blessing to our life. We receive instruction and we do what the Holy Spirit tells us. Psalms 1:1-2 says, how happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates in it day and night. The fourth thing I want to encourage you in is to walk with the Lord, like I said, more closely this year and learn to trust Him more than ever in your life. The scripture for that one is James 1:5-8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. There's a big key right there. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. The fourth, I've kind of got off here, but anyway, the next thing is, actually, let me give you another scripture. Joshua 24, 34, and 35. Or, I'm sorry, 24, 14, and 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods of your father that your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, what did he say?
We will serve the Lord.
So we need to choose this year. Are we going to serve God? Are we going to believe God when we pray? Are we going to believe we're going to receive when he says he'll give us what he says he will? Let me get to the next one here. I've got to get through these quickly. Learn to be a tither. We talked about that. And I want to read the scripture in Malachi. And the reason I tell you to tithe is because that's the way God provides. He makes provision for us as his children. It works completely the opposite of what the world says. The world says, you know, save your money, hoard it. But the Bible says to give, and God will give back. Listen to this version of Malachi. It says, will a human dare to rob God? Yet you are robbing me, and you say, how have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and contributions, you are being cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me, please, in this. I love that part of it. That's the only place in the Bible God says, test me. Prove me out. And here in this verse, it says, test me, please. God wants us to test him in this thing. Try it. If you've never tried tithing, try it. I guarantee you God will meet your needs. And he goes on to say, I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour forth for you an overflowing blessing. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. It will not destroy the fruit of your soil. Your vine in the field will not be unfruitful, says Yahweh of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, because you will be a land in which one takes joy, says Yahweh of hosts. The next one, I want you to learn to believe God when you pray. Pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is simply believing when you pray that God gives you. Let me read you Mark 11, 23 and 24. I believe that. Yep. For assuredly, I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, not Paul, not anybody else. It's Jesus speaking. He said, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you desire or ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Doesn't say you might have them, you know, if you get lucky, you'll get it. Or, you know, if it's raining on Monday and not on Tuesday, then I'll give you what you ask for. Believe you receive when you pray. That's the prayer of faith. So let me encourage you to do that this year. The next one, learn that everything good comes from God. Sickness and disease doesn't come from God. Let me read the scripture on that. Every good, James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God doesn't change, does he? Praise God. The only thing in this world, this universe, that stays constant is God. Even the universe itself is expanding every day, every second. It's expanding at this incredible rate. And everything is changing except God. And you know what? That's a blessing to us, because if we learn who God is, and we learn to understand his nature and who he is, he's always going to be that way. God doesn't change. So realize that. And realize that everything good comes from God. If it's not good, it's not from God. Okay? No evil comes from God. And I could go on and on scriptures and that, but Psalm 9:10 says, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. I've got to tell a story in closing here. We had a teacher in seminary. His name was Doc Horton. He'd been in the ministry. He just celebrated 40 years while I was there, and he just passed away this year. And I've been out of school 20-something years, so he'd been in the ministry 60-something years. A little guy about this tall, and he was wider than he was tall, had white hair, and he was one of those old Church of God, the fire and brimstone type preachers. And he was just hilarious to watch and listen, but he always had these stories. And so people would yell, hey, tell this certain story, you know, and he had names for them. Well, there was one called Wall of Water. And you say it south like me, it sounds like one word all together, but Wall of Water, Wall of Water. He said one of the places he lived in Georgia, they had massive floods. And he said he had been teaching on this scripture that no plague would come near your home or near your dwelling. And he said after the floodwaters had receded some, he was able to get out. And he went by, he was going to his people in his church, going to their homes and checking on them, see how they're doing. Well, he had called this lady and said, hey, I'm going to be in the neighborhood. I thought I'd stop by. And she said, yeah, come on by. I said, I got a story to tell. Said, she was praising the Lord. And, you know, I have to accept this by faith just like you do. But I believe this guy's telling the truth. But he said he went over and he said he walked up there and he knocked on the door and the lady answered the door. She was all dressed up, had earrings on, and here's a flood. Where most people are scooping silt and stuff out of their carpet, you know. And he said, you're all dressed up. And she said, oh, Pastor, let me tell you what happened. And he's like, okay. And she's like, said, my house didn't flood. And he said, well, I see the water line right here. He said, it was about 2 foot up from the bottom of her door. And she said, you know what? She said, that water started coming up. And she said, it rained and it rained. And you have to hear him tell the story. It's really funny. But said, the water started coming up out of the sewer. And she said, as the water kept rising, she thought, you know what? There's plagues in that water with the sewer stuff coming up and all that. She said, no plague will come nigh my dwelling. So she started speaking to that water like the Bible tells us to speak to things. And she said, as the water came up the first step, she said, you will not come in my house. No plague shall come near my dwelling. And she kept speaking to it. And it kept coming up. Kept coming up to the second step. And then the third step. Finally got to the threshold. And she's still standing there speaking to it. And she's like, no plague will come near my dwelling in Jesus' name. And she kept speaking to it. So the water came in. It was almost like somebody put a glass there and the water kept rising, but it didn't go in the house. So it got about 2 foot. And he said, I swear it happened. He said, I saw the carpet and everything else right after it happened. There was no water in that house. So anyway, that was one. They always yell, wall of water. And so he'd tell a story. But you know what? I believe God does miracles. Do you? He doesn't do miracles as much as I would like to see him do miracles. He doesn't heal as much as I would like to see him heal. But you know what? I've seen people get. I've been healed. I've seen and I've not been healed, but I believe God does those things. So let me encourage you this year, if you go on the website, you can find all of this and take those things I gave you. And like I say, you don't have to, and you're not obligated to tell anybody if you did that or didn't do it, but just let me encourage you to really follow the Lord and seek Him and really make this a different year. Make it a year where you really serve the Lord. Okay, Steve?